Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management and Blackridge Asset Management LLC. Peak Broker Services LLC is not an affiliate of Independent Solutions or Financial Guys LLC.
Podcast, baby!
You're listening to the Financial Guys.
This is the sickness that is liberalism.
All these liberals love Bill Clinton. Let's put the budget back to where Billy was.
People like Andrew Cuomo, people like Barack Obama, people like that have no business experience or skill whatsoever.
We need more Donald Trumps. That's what we need.
Here's Glenn Wiggle and Mike Lomas.
Welcome, everybody, to the Financial Guys podcast here. I'm not sure what number this is. Again, I've lost track already. It's only been like, what?
Nine or ten.
Yeah. But we haven't done that many, but I've already lost track. But it is it is Thursday, March 28th, and obviously a lot of stuff in the news. We're thrilled to be joined by Michael Caputo, because some of this news is relevant to him. We are going to get to Jussie Smollett in the second half of this podcast, but I think the bigger news, really, as frustrating as the Smollett thing is, obviously is a Mueller investigation, right? So the Democrats have been seething for many, many, many months, years now, really expecting, you know, Donald Trump. I can't tell you the cavalcade of different people that have come on CNN, from Michael Avenatti to, you know, the long list of he's going to be impeached, he's going to jail, he's never going to finish his term, yada, yada, yada. This seems like a vindication for not only Donald Trump, but from a lot of his associates, including you. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, it feels like vindication sometimes. You know, it's only been a couple of days. The report was filed with the Department of Justice just in time for my birthday.
Mr. Glenn's birthday yesterday too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got a great T-shirt as a gift. It said, "I got caught up, or I survived the Mueller investigation, and all I got was this lousy T-shirt." and I guess it's kind of leveling off. I went from being elated to being really concerned, because I'll tell you about that in a minute. To actually, it's kind of leveled off a little bit now, where I'm just looking at my lousy T-shirt. You know, and I think that it goes for everybody involved. I mean, I think it's probably 50, 45 original Trump kind of OT, you know, Trump staff who got caught up in this. And each one of them went through a very similar thing. All of us suffered financial problems and, you know, missed kids' tuition, didn't get paid, and mom and dad fired in one family. Some really terrible things went down. It feels like vindication, but where do all 50 of us go to get our reputations back? Yeah. You know, I've lost my business. I've lost more than half my employees. I had to close a couple of offices.
Mike, I don't think a lot of people understand and really realize what you went through. And I think you said there's probably about 50 of you. You know, everybody thinks, well, we're just going to attack Donald Trump for this, right? But there was a lot of, I don't want to call you an everyday Joe, but, you know, you're an everyday Joe just like Glenn and I, you know, where you're trying to work your business, you're trying to build and make a living and earn a living for yourself and raise your kids. And then you find yourself testifying in front of Congress, right? But it's way more than that. It goes into you being worried about the security of yourself, your family, your friends, your relatives. It drains bank accounts. And now it's like, oh, good, it's over.
Right. Yeah. But you're just collateral damage, right? You're the innocent bystander that was caught up in all this. And of course,
yeah, I'm writing a book right now.
I hope that helps.
And I'm discussing it with some top publishers. And one of the interesting ideas for the title of the book was Roadkill. Yeah. And that's what we are, each of us. And the question is, who among us will be able to reanimate and get on with our lives? You know, I've tried to do it one way. You know, I've spoken out. I've never been shy about what I felt, testifying before the House Intelligence Committee, the Senate Intelligence Committee, interrogated by Mueller's team. You know, now being coaxed into the House Judiciary Committee hearings, which I'm refusing to cooperate with. I'm done. I'm not doing any more. You know, the criminal investigation is over. And I've learned going through this, it's a very big difference between a criminal investigation, the Mueller team, and a political investigation, which is Congress. Mueller can put you in jail with the blink of an eye. You know, I was told throughout the whole process that I was a witness, not a subject nor a target to higher classifications of interest. But there's nothing saying, and I understood fairly quickly, and they made it very clear to me in my interrogation, that just with the changing of a mind, they can flip me from witness to target in a moment. And so if you're on, as long as the investigation's open, you're in peril, whether you're a witness, a subject, or a target.
Well, I think what people don't realize is the amount of, I mean, you're fighting against the government, right? So you've got the
full weight of the federal government.
The unlimited amounts of resources, right? What was the estimate that Mueller spent? I heard $25 million thrown around.
Always goes up, though. And imagine the million spent in supporting the Mueller investigation with all the Russian intelligence information that needed to be fed to Fusion GPS, that had to go to all the reporters and to all the congressional investigators who uses Fusion GPS as talking points to write their questions for people like me. That costs millions too.
You're right. Let me ask you this. Now that we know that there was no collusion, right? I love the Democrats. They come out and they say, well, there's nothing in this report that says that he's vindicated. Well, that's not what Mueller set out to do, right? Mueller set out to find him guilty of a crime, which he failed to do, right? So that in of itself is vindication. A prosecutor or an investigator doesn't set out to prove somebody's innocence. They set out to try to find their guilt. Mueller failed to do that, right? So, but what they did find, and I think what it really has now come to light, and I give a lot of credit to Tom Fitton over at Judicial Watch, is they found a tremendous amount of, I'll call corroboration, if not collusion, between the Clinton camp, the DNC, and the Russians. We also now know that even as, I think as early as this morning, President Trump is talking about releasing information related to that FISA warrant that they used to get this whole thing started. But what I'm hearing on the right, and I'm certainly part of that chorus, I would agree, I want vindication for the people that use the intelligence apparatus, and that includes Obama, that includes Hillary Clinton, that includes, you know, Clapper and so on and so forth. I want these folks, Comey included, I want them, McCabe, I mean, God, the list goes on and on. I want them held accountable, right? I want a special counsel to be appointed. Now, I have heard other people like Greta Van Susteren and some other notable folks that say, well, we just need to move on. We should not dwell on the past. We need to look forward. I absolutely disagree with that, but I wonder what your take was. Do you think that we should go after these folks? And number two, do you think it will actually happen?
Well, I got to boil it down to this. I'm not going to be satisfied until I have the keys to James Comey's house in my hand and I'm able to invite the entire list of 50 people who were destroyed by this investigation for just being Trump associates. Invite every single one of them and their family, their children, their parents and grandparents over to the house to watch Comey's trial on sedition on his big screen TV. I will not be satisfied until that house party, that viewing party, has happened.
Do you think it will happen, number one, Mike? And do you think, not to be a negative nanny, but do you think this is over for you? I mean, the Democrats seem to just go on with their same playbook. It comes out, Mueller comes out, or the releases, you know, whatever, and they don't seem to care. They just keep going forward. I mean, do you think, as much as you want to say, well, you've been vindicated, or we want to say you've been vindicated and it's over, is it really over? Is it ever going
to
end?
I think I mentioned, you know, to you guys before, I spent Tuesday morning at the East Aurora Police Department filing an aggravated harassment complaint for a death threat that came to me over Facebook. This is the reality of my life. I've had 58 death threats in the last 2 years.
That's unreal.
I can't report all of them, but I'm spending money and on private investigators to identify these people. They're funny. They don't really understand.
They like to hide anonymously online. Isn't that great? They're big, tough people.
I would bet, though, if we looked into it, Mike, they were wearing Make America Great hats again.
They were. I'll tell you, they all thought that they were anonymous online, and they're not, you know? Yeah. And if it's egregious, if it's a threat against my child, if it's a threat against my wife, I definitely get a PI to look into the origin of the message.
Yeah.
But the one that came on Sunday night at 9:02, shortly after Attorney General Barr sent his summary in, and the first breath of news coverage came out after it, this fellow from Buffalo, New York, decided he needed to threaten my life on Facebook.
What, for being innocent?
For being innocent.
For Trump being innocent?
I mean, is that these people are mentally deranged? That's what I mean. It just doesn't end, right? I mean,
it doesn't. And I think every one of the dozens of people who were caught up in this are enjoying the same slings and arrows. The problem that each of us faces is that the national tenor of this, you know, the high volume, if you have congressmen and senators and presidential candidates talking about how me by name is a Russian spy, you know, those things sink into the mentally unhinged.
A lot of them are registered Democrats. Or, you know,
well, this guy is actually an activist.
It's a mental illness. You can look at, you know, I mean, we look at the facts, and the facts say one thing, and they look the other way, right?
Speaking of mental illness, did you see the couple of protests recently? So they dressed in banana suits
to
protest out in front of Tucker Carlson's house, right? And then they were dressed in cow outfits the other day in front of the White House demanding the full Mueller release. It sounds to me like they're probably going to release most of it. Sounds like they're just going through it to make sure there's nothing into that that needs to be redacted or anything.
It's hilarious. You know, what's really funny here is, you know, the like four-time felon average Antifa member in Germany who spent, you know, 3 years behind bars in total for his activism is throwing a brick through his television when he sees these loopy leftists in America dressed up like cows and bananas.
I'm sure the taxpayers paid for that TV, but I mean, who does that? Like, I look, it's one thing to dress up in like patriotic outfits,
right?
You know, dress up with the, you know, the old, the throwback, you know, we have a reenacting in Western New York is a big thing, but to dress up in a banana suit,
right?
Or a cow. Or a cow outfit is just like, you're, something's mentally not right with you. Like, you need some serious help. And the even better, there's some people out there like Max Boot from the Washington Post and others that even after the report, you know, Adam Schiff, another one, there's still mountains of evidence for collusion. Well, $25 million and an army of attorneys later in 2.5 years, they haven't found a shred of it. So at some point, I mean, do we hold these other folks like Schiff accountable to say either produce your evidence or shut the hell up? I mean, it would be nice if the media, as CNN, just absolutely has embarrassed the hell out of themselves, and they're still keeping up with it. But at some point, you would think the media would say, you know what? Maybe we should move on and not talk to Adam Schiff as much anymore. Maybe having Michael Avenatti as our legal, you know, consultant was probably not the best of ideas. Oh. And kicking
Speaking
off the Alan Dershowitz, right?
Yeah. You know, I work with these guys all day long. You know, the top reporters, and I have a media relations firm called Zeppelin Communications, and which is, you know, now 30% the size it used to be, with three different offices closed. You know, because of all the repercussions on my business, I've laid off half my staff. It's a despicable situation. But these the media people that I talk to, I mean, it's one of the reasons probably why I survived being such a loudmouth. Because I worked with these people for 30 years. And my understanding of this, and I've been through it a couple of times, the only way the media is going to change itself if it suffers a cataclysmic embarrassment. And what we have right now is...
It seems like we've had multiple cases of that.
I mean, right. Reporters have resigned in disgrace.
Although you
fired.
Know, what's
I mean,
amazing.
This one's going to sink in soon.
You look at the ratings of CNN and they're awful. You wonder how they survive, right?
It's going to sink in. It's all about ratings, and they're having ratings problems without their Russia collusion.
I think the biggest problem has been the lack of a backbone with the Republican Party, to be honest with you. I mean, how in the world,
Rand
you
Paul.
Know, to compare it to a football game,
yeah.
I mean, you need to ram this stuff home in the fourth quarter, right? Yeah. And the Republicans just sit back and do nothing. I mean, well, to be honest with you, using you as a case in point, I mean, how is the Republican Party not stepping up and supporting folks like you? And not only supporting folks like you, but then going after the Clintons
right.
and everybody else. I mean, you want to fight fire with fire, then
that's
fight it.
Right.
Senator Rand Paul has been the only Republican I've heard thus far that has come out publicly and forcefully and said, we need to investigate now the other side of this. He's the only one. I haven't heard any of the other U.S. senators on the Republican side or any representatives come out and say that. Now, Rand Paul is absolutely right. If we let the Obama administration and his ilk in the Justice Department and in the FBI and the CIA, if we let them get away with this attempted coup, they will do it again.
Right?
Now they know what they did wrong. They didn't do enough of it, I guess. Right? You can't let them get away with this, in my opinion. I will say this, from a re-election standpoint, if Trump lets the U.S. Attorney's Office give this a pass and move forward, if he comes out and says, okay, we're going to look ahead, I think it's going to hurt him at the reelection time.
He ran on draining the swamp, right?
If he goes after him, if he says to the attorney general, you need to appoint a separate special counsel right now, we'll abide by those rules. If he doesn't do that, then he loses. If he does do that, then he wins a la Reagan style in 1984, where he wins 49 out of 50 states. And I think it will be that wide of a difference.
I think there's two sides to this coin, you know, two levels of what we're discussing here. I think your initial comment is interesting, you know, about how the Republicans themselves hold some blame here. But, you know, just for a second, I want to say that, you know, with a proper investigation, beginning with the president releasing that FISA on you know, unredacted, and demanding an investigation into what member of the Obama White House leaked General Flynn's conversation with Ambassador Kislyak to the Washington Post, those two things will crack this wide open. Mm-hmm. And I think a proper investigation can teach the lessons where they need to be taught, principally among Democrats and the intelligence community right now. But yeah, from the Republican Party's standpoint and its culpability, you know, I'm sorry to tell you, and I'm sorry to tell people, like-minded Republicans who might be watching or listening, I don't expect any great awakening. You know, we're all on our own. We, you know, Trump associates caught in this mess. We're on our own. And if we want a friend in Washington, you buy a dog. You know, nobody gave me any money.
But they seem to all be our friends, specifically the Republican Party, when it's time to get voted in, right?
Yep. Right. But I'll tell you,
when they need our money, when they need, you know, our vote, they all of a sudden become extremely conservative, fiscally conservative, and they're going to fight for us, and they're going to get rid of Obamacare, and they're going to lower taxes, and then they get in and they disappear.
I don't agree at all. I don't think it happens. I know they told us that all of our legal bills would be taken care of, and they raised money, but none of us saw any of it.
Oh, nice. So they raised money off of that. And then
At some point, I mean, the favorites got it. I mean, that always happens.
Sure. Yeah. I will say this, though. I have not made a Republican donation to the congressional committees. Right. About 2010, I think. Since they started spending money worse than Manchin.
We all had to raise our own money and take care of ourselves. I was lucky in the people of Buffalo and around the country, I raised over $380,000. I was able to pay my legal fees and the legal fees of several other Trump associates. Hmm. But, you know, not everybody, you know, there's still a lot of bleeding out there.
Yeah. And,
you know, look, it made me stronger. It made my family stronger. I'm probably a better person because of this. I guess the final word I might say is that I really didn't expect this to be my life right now at 57 years old.
Right.
And it caught all of us by surprise because my wife told me, please don't work for President Trump. It's not going to end well. And I kind of scoffed. What could go wrong, right?
What could go wrong?
Went wrong is I didn't listen to my wife.
We need more. Yeah, well, I should all do that more. But we need more Donald Trumps. That's what we need. We need more. And I there's been a lot of times I've disagreed with Rand Paul. But I will give him credit for being an independent thinker, and I can respect somebody who stands by his principles, even though he voted, I believe, against the emergency declaration because he felt it was against the Constitution. I can respect that if that's what he's standing on, his principles. Mm-hmm. But we need more people like him that are willing to stand on their principles. I don't have to always agree with their positions, but these Republicans are like, you know, they promise one thing, they do completely another. And as Mike said, if we don't start playing smash mouth politics, they will go to any lengths to get power back. They used the this is the biggest political scandal, even bigger than Watergate, in my lifetime. And I'm 47 years old now. There is nothing that even comes close to the amount of corruption that when you start using your intelligence apparatus to falsify information, to spy on a presidential candidate, continue that spying after he's been duly elected by the people, and then have an attempt to overthrow that via coup by circulating false information, which it was totally and completely set up as an insurance.
With zero morals, right, Glenn? They act like this investigation, the results never happen.
Right.
Just keep on rolling.
I want to talk about... You know, what our country needs in the federal code, what we need is another church committee. The church committee that was founded in the 1970s by Senator Church. It was a select committee of the United States Senate, and they investigated the intelligence community's abuse of power. Now, they were looking at different things, but they looked at the FBI, the CIA, the IRS, and the NSA. And by the way, there were like 800 people fired from the CIA at that time.
Yeah,
the church committee went off the rails and did some things that were wrong. But what we need right now as a select committee of the Senate run by Lindsey Graham.
Yeah. I'd like a separate special counsel, though, as well, to be honest with you. I think a special counsel is important that's going to investigate Hillary Clinton.
And I think after this, you've got enough support around the country that if you had a President Trump who stepped up and said, this is what we're going to do in this direction we want to go, I think you'd see the country get the support. On a bigger level, I mean, you've been a consultant for Trump. You've been a consultant for a lot of other political campaigns. I mean, what do you see the result of this going into next, you know, the 2020 elections?
I think the Russiagate hoax gave birth to the strangest Democrat Party I've ever witnessed, mm-hmm. and a phalanx of very strange candidates for president. And it's going to be a very interesting primary, much so, more so than the Republican primary, which had, 14 candidates.
Yeah, this is a real clown show here. Yeah, between NATO, I love my hands.
It's a circus.
And
Biden apologizing for having male body parts.
I mean,
it's going to get better and better. And I said this the other day to someone. I said, I always say, buy popcorn. But no, don't buy popcorn. That's not enough. Invest in popcorn. If you're a farmer, start growing popcorn. Because exactly. This is going to be... But having said
that, does it lead to the birth, though, of a real leftist candidate, which then gets smacked in the general election?
Well, Republican Party's nomination apparatus is controlled by conservatives, and the Democrats' nomination process is controlled by the left. So it's quite possible that it will be a leftist candidate. But at the very least, if someone like Biden or Klobuchar gets through, or God forbid, someone out from outside the box like Tulsi Gabbard, right? They're going to have a long way to come back from all the leftist or virtue signaling they're going to have to do to win.
Let's talk about that in the next segment. I want to talk about Biden specifically and some of his past, because he seems like he's their strongest candidate, but he's also got a history of groping a lot of people on video, and that's obvious in this new day and age. I don't know that that's going to be able to...
Your president's grabbing him by the you-know-what.
Right. So,
well, it's okay if you're a Democrat.
That's right. But that's the other thing I want to talk about in the next
segment. They have amnesia. Didn't really happen.
Well, I want to talk about Democrat privilege, and I want to talk a little bit about Jussie Smollett and what that does to the country, because I think there's got to still be some retribution there as well, and I think that's important to talk about. So stick with us for just a second. We're going to take a short break, if that's what you call it in the podcast, but we'll kind of reset things, and we'll come back. You've got the Financial Guys. This is the Financial Guys podcast. Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. We are interviewing and talking with Michael Caputo. Check out his podcast, by the way, at stillstanding.com or stillstandingpodcast.com. That'd be a good space to find him. If you don't know who Michael Caputo is, he's been an advisor to President Trump. He got caught up in the Mueller investigation as a witness. His family and his life has been run through the ringer, and I think he's a little bit relieved. I know Buffalo News, you mentioned the front page of vindication, which is a rare admit for the left-wing Buffalo News. But we'll talk more with Michael on the other side of the break. Stick with us. You've got more to come here on the Financial Guys podcast. All right, welcome back. You've got the Financial Guys. This is our, I think, 9th or 10th podcast now. It's been a month or two. You've got Glenn Wiggle, Mike Lomas. And for those of you that don't know us, maybe you're just finding this podcast somewhere randomly online, we've hosted a radio show on WBEN and various other stations, but WBEN AM 930 is our flagship station. We've been on there for the last 20 years. We've also done a lot of TV shows. We've done TV interviews. We do a lot of radio interviews. We've been... our folks and our associates have been on CNBC and Fox Business, and we are financial experts, and we talk a lot about finances. However, when we do our podcast, we do our radio show, this is the show where money meets politics. And we talk oftentimes about politics and really how the politics and the political scene affects the economy, affects our lives in this country in general. And obviously the big news this week was the Mueller investigation coming to a close and finally being released.
Sort of.
Coming to a close.
For some people, it's coming to a close. Yeah, others, it's just started.
Yeah, for the Democrats, they're still hoping that there's something else in there. That's a hidden page that got stuck together
this
with the
can't
other
be.
One.
This can't be. True.
Actually, Rachel Maddow.
Rachel Maddow was actually crying. She was in tears. There's nothing there.
So we're talking with Michael Caputo. Those of you that don't know Michael, he is a fixture around Western New York and Washington. He's been a political consultant for many, many years.
He also, Washington. I'm not sure he wants to be
there. And Washington. You spent a lot of time there, though. So Michael also does a podcast. It's called Still Standing. You can find out more information at stillstandingpodcast.com. And I would highly encourage everybody to give it a listen. It's a fantastic podcast. And I'll keep you in the know of what's going on around Washington from a conservative, I guess, viewpoint and an honest viewpoint. Michael, thank you again for joining us. Really appreciate it. At the end of the last segment there, we were just talking a little bit about Jussie Smollett, the travesty of justice here, and what the next steps are as far as maybe an independent investigator goes or something like that. So wanted to kind of take off in that direction. And
unreal, by the way. What a slap in the face to police officers. Yes. To me, an absolute...
Oprah know, and when did she know it? It really is something. I noticed that the president has taken note of it. He said that he thinks that the FBI, the DOJ should look into it. I think that's appropriate. I also understand that some of the charges that they can't get rid of are federal, that have to deal with that letter that he mailed to himself. As we know, each crime brings with it a concomitant punishment. And, him being tried for putting a stamp on something that he did to perpetrate the fraud isn't going to bring him the time that he deserves time he wasted in Chicago.
But the best part is he's come back out now, and he said, I would never lie. My mother taught me to be honest. I've always been truthful. There's another guy who is mentally deranged, right? I mean, to fake a hate crime to begin with,
well, that's the party, right? By the way, the rumor is that Michelle Obama got involved with this.
I understand that it was Obama. I mean, my understanding...
Chicago couldn't get any more corrupt.
Obama for sure, and one of the reasons you can tell that it was Obama is because the mayor, Rahm Emanuel, is pretty upset about it.
This is
backroom politics at its best. And let me tell you something. This goes on in every city. This goes on in Buffalo, New York. I know a custody battle. The wife was boarding all those 80 horses and got in all kinds of trouble with the ASPCA. Yep. He hasn't been able to see his child for 14 years. For no reason, and nobody can figure out, even when you take it to an expert, they try to say, oh, this can't be true, but yet the judge keeps ruling in favor of the mother, who happens to be a millionaire.
The new thing, Mike, is if you get arrested or in any kind of trouble, if you've got a voter ID card that says Democrat on it, you're fine, and then you're a celebrity with money, it's a get-out-of-jail card for free.
No problem.
Anywhere you want.
No problem.
Well, thank goodness they got Jussie Smollett's $10,000 bond. That was really worth all the time, right?
Let me ask you this, though. So now he's back to I really got beat up. Are these two Nigerian brothers still on the Empire show? Are they still doing his physical training? Are they returning the money? Are they? Because now, I guess what his contention is that these guys really beat me up, and not sure why they bought a red hat, but. You know, at the one hand, he's like, hey, I paid them $3,500 for training and they beat me up instead. Well, the police are not going to, they don't believe that, right? So they did their 2 weeks of investigation. They believe he's a liar. And the best part is even the prosecutor came out and said, whoa, 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 whoa. We didn't say he's innocent. We just said we feel like he's paid his due by forfeiting the $10,000.
By working for Jesse Jackson.
That's
what he did.
And 9 hours
of Jesse Jackson.
By working 18
hours mailing envelopes for Jesse Jackson.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure how that benefits the community. That's his community service.
Yeah.
Right. Who are the two most popular people in the world right now, if you're a reporter, right? It's those two guys from Nigeria. They're the most they should be brokering a deal with
them. That actually begs the question of where are the reporters?
Yeah, where are the reporters?
I think that they should be brokering a deal with the National Enquirer.
Let me tell you this.
Pay them for their story and not make them beat them up.
When they were going after you, Mike, if you had taken a plane to Nigeria, the reporters would have gone after you. They would have gone on a plane behind you to interview you. I guarantee you,
there's some intrepid reporters dogging those guys right now.
I hope so.
I guarantee you. The one thing that we have in this world, the internet brought a lot of terrible things into our lives and death threats into my family and all this other stuff and Guccifer and, WikiLeaks and everything else. But I can promise you this. We have some of the best, most intrepid and investigative journalists coming out of the right, not necessarily through journalism school. Guys like Cernovich.
We're not really in journalism school anymore, though.
Start watching OAN. There's some really good news.
Laura Loomer's out there. There's the whole Project Veritas with James O'Keefe. I mean, doing a phenomenal job. I mean, you're right. There's Cernovich. There's so many great independent reporters out there. Sadly, and I think this is where President Trump needs to play a bigger role, they're being shut down, right? You want to talk about collusion again. There is a concerted effort among Silicon Valley, the Googles that now own YouTube,
the Facebooks, you know, the Twitters. They're all trying to do what they can to restrict these folks and take them off platforms. I don't agree with Alex Jones. I don't agree with InfoWars. I've never been a big fan. I think he's a little bit.
Just don't listen to him, right?
Yeah, I just don't. I just turn him off. But to take him off of every platform, to take Laura Loomer for calling out Ilhan Omar, who she's absolutely correct about what she said.
She's been knocked off of Twitter, Facebook, everything.
She's Instagram is her only platform left.
The funny thing is with this Jesse case, now he's saying that there really was two white men in hats that went after him. But he's also saying, just let it go. I'm forgetting about it. Right. Well, I'll tell you what. If two people attacked me, I'm not letting it go.
No, he's full of
it. I want to find those two, right?
Everybody knows he's a liar. Except
we all know what this is. And I just think it's another reason to go plant popcorn, man, because this is not going to end well. This whole Jesse Smollett thing. Well, it is not going to end well.
I'll tell you what, the Republican Party, if they had any bit of backbone, would be tying this into the Democrats and running on the platform of how corrupt they are.
Absolutely.
How crazy they are. I'll tell you, there's a lot of moderate Democrats out there that have to be looking at this going, I might not agree with being a far right-wing conservative, but I certainly don't agree with the lying left.
But that's the great middle of America, and that's the answer for Donald Trump. Remember, Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, that's what put us over the top. But here's the interesting thing that everyone needs to continue to remember. Jesse Smollett, not that long ago, 4 or 5 years ago, was pulled over for drunk driving, and he lied to the police and said that he was his twin brother. Jesse Smollett has lied to the police before and was given a plea deal where he was
that
able
sounds like a high character guy.
Work in Jesse Jackson's office and do
some family under the bus.
That's right. Well, you throw your own brother on
so the bus. When he's on CNN the other day crying, going, I would never do that. That's
right. You know, when he pled to that charge the first time around, he had to pretty much admit that he did it and swear he would never do it again. And here he did it again. So there is no, perhaps, you know, somebody should be given a break if they do this crime for the first time. It's not his first time.
Not when it comes to faking hate crime, though.
You should not be given a break under any circumstance.
He's fighting for the movement, Mike. He's fighting for the movement.
There's no second chance when you fake a hate crime.
We're not exactly sure what the movement is, but he's fighting for the movement. And people that have been marginalized like him. I mean, he only makes $100,000 an episode.
I know. The hoaxing movement.
Yeah. I mean, it's been awful to live like him. There's no paradise.
Well, let's face it. We are living through a hoaxing movement.
Yeah, I mean, we are.
He is advancing the movement. It's the hoaxing movement. That's right. Great collusion delusion.
It's to paint everybody that collusion supports Donald delusion. Trump. It's to paint everybody who supports Donald Trump as a racist, homophobic, a bigoted, knuckle-dragging Neanderthal who's running around Chicago wearing MAGA hats saying this is MAGA country. It's the most ridiculous. Carrying a bottle of bleach. And a rope just in case, right?
Right.
I mean, it is the
damn those Nigerian telephone scammers.
Yeah.
Damn.
It's the biggest problem in Chicago is two white men with
running around with
mega hats. Not the black on black crimes and killings that happen every single night in Chicago at a record
pace. This is not going to end well. It's going to be so delicious when it comes apart.
Yeah.
It is. You know, that you knew that they had to try and do this. They were going to because, you know, we have to thank Jesse Smollett for one thing and one thing only, I think, but for it's a very important thing to thank him for. He has identified what is going on around us. It is a hoaxing movement. Mm-hmm. That's what this is. Jesse Smollett is a hoax. The Russian collusion delusion is a hoax. The Green New Deal is a hoax. This is a hoaxing movement.
The Green New Deal.
The Green New Deal. I'm glad you brought that up. Did you see who was the congressman or the senator who put this out? That he did a whole. Did you see this?
No.
Oh my God! He did a whole.
Oh gosh.
War. Where he's going through. He's like, here's
Senator Lee, Mike Lee.
Yeah. So don't have. So Hawaii. For those in Hawaii, we know we can't fly. So no more planes. So what we're going to do is we've identified giant purple seahorses that Aquaman is going to lead.
We have to get those to the radio.
That's one way to defeat the Green New Deal, right? Ridiculing.
No, it's so ludicrous. It's not even a reasonable deal.
But, you know, here's the thing. As a political professional, I can tell you there is peril in the Green New Deal. I'll tell you what that peril is. There are probably going to be 36 candidates on the Democratic side of the, and this is going to be debated ad nauseum in one way, shape, or form. It's going to be mostly rejected, the Green New Deal, but in the end, there will be two or three ideas that come out of it that they may manage to pull the wool over the public's eyes about it. And if we don't, as a party, the Republican Party, begin to consider solutions to some of the problems that are real within this you know, climate hoax movement, you know, like, for example, you know, carbon is a problem. There's no doubt about it. If we don't come up with some kind of alternative solutions that are market oriented, that do not single out America over China and India to break us with environmental regulations that they don't have to even obey, that's, you know, if we don't come up with something, we're going to get blindsided and we're going to get beat on green issues. We got to be careful.
I don't disagree with that, but here's where I do disagree, and that is the carbon issue. And because really it's not a carbon issue, it's a pollution issue. And the pollution is coming squarely out of places like China and India. We are the cleanest nation in the country.
And getting cleaner.
Look, this is the thing that I think the leftists drive me crazy, because it's always an all or nothing game with them. It's either we're peeing in our own coffee, or it's pristine water.
Like nobody has coffee.
There's some in between here, right? Yeah. We all want to be cleaner. We all want to have cleaner oceans. We all want to have regulations. It's not no regulations.
Yeah.
But it can't be over smothering regulation.
Yeah, and right? The funny thing is, you just mentioned China and India, but the second, and Donald Trump has been trying to negotiate better trade deals for us in China, and by the way, is winning on those trade deals.
Right.
Of course, the left is furious about this. So, you know, if we want to fix the problem, it's got to be fixed over there, not here.
Well, here's where I think things are going. You heard it here first. It's something that combines the American, the kind of politically commissioned fear in all Americans for climate change, et cetera, and also the idea of free and fair trade. I believe there is going to be a carbon tariff. A carbon tariff. That's probably the best idea to come out of the Republican Party to counter any nutso moves that come out of this who's he, what's a Green New Deal.
Yeah, you could go that way.
Hold on. Right. You can charge on goods from places like China and India that are huge polluters on all their products and say, you're a polluter. We are at this level of carbon. You're at this level. We need to charge your products and that'll bring them in line.
I can see the desire to do that. I can feel the emotional want to do that. Here's the problem with that is that you end up having the U.S. taxpayer paying more money for goods China is producing to pollute. So essentially what happens is the American consumer then ends up paying the bill for China's pollution.
I understand that, but a tariff is a tariff for whatever reason it's installed.
Well, a tariff is a tariff.
Seems to be working right now with China.
Well, they're working only because it's threatening and we're getting China to come to the table. We have nothing else. But a tariff at the end of the day is nothing more than a tax. And
a tariff is also a threat.
But what Trump is trying to do with the tariffs, though, is get them to take it down to zero. He's not saying
Whole reason you put the carbon tariff in is to get them to start decreasing their carbon. Yeah. And I'll tell you, one of the reasons why America is so clean in our energy and our manufacturing is because we put effort into it, right? Yeah, the Chinese they don't even wake up and think about it.
What if we could create an environment, this is my same argument with New York State, what if we could create such a business-friendly environment in America? Not to say that we're going to relax environmental rules so that we can dump mercury in the river, but what if we can get to a point where we're so efficient and our regulations are so right-sized in this country that it's cheaper to do business here and to manufacture those products, because when you factor out things like shipping and logistics and all that stuff, that to me is what we need to get to. We need to make America so competitive that China suffers in that way. Same thing with New York. You know, New York's argument is, let's put a tax on everything coming into New York. Florida should have a higher tax to make us in New York more competitive. I say, no, let's lower the taxes and regulations in New York to make it a more hospitable place. And we're not doing that, of course. We need to take the same approach with America, make it so competitive that an Apple says, you know what, we got to do business here. And maybe there is a second tier, but to do that, you've got to get rid of things like minimum wage. You've got to get rid of the states that are non-right-to-work states. You got to get, I don't say bust up unions. I think unions can have a place, but I think you've got to be very careful about the power that unions have to collect the bargain and things like that.
I agree with all those tenets. You know, what is it? Which founding father said, the ways to get to a perfect society the fastest is best done in a republic.
Well, I think
the place where it's also destroyed immediately afterward is also a republic. I don't think that we'll be able to get there. And if we do get there, the next Barack Obama will undo it immediately. Yeah.
I think True. To your point, though, and I think this is True. Basically the theme of the show is, you know, if we're going to have a fight, let's have a fight, right? So as a Republican Party here, let's have a backbone and go fight the Democrats head on. If the fight is for the environment, let's fight it over in China, let's fight it over in India, I think we get a lot more support than, you know, taxing us here and making us as the cleanest place in the world, you know, try to pay for other folks' problems.
I got to tell you, Mike, I hate to come full circle too, but any political party that leaves its Marines dead and dying on the field, that leaves their original soldiers as roadkill after a devastating but successful battle, any political party that does that is bound for its own destruction. Mm-hmm.
I don't disagree with that at all. And the Republican Party, as we said from the get-go, has been the number one obstacle, would be the number one obstacle for Trump, and has been the number one obstacle for Trump. You know, it's not been the Democrats that have been blocking the repeal of Obamacare. It's been the Republicans that have been unable to get that done. And they better get their act together if they want to win the midterms coming up, or not even the midterms. They want to win back in the next election cycle. Congress, which I think the Republicans have a chance to do, they better start putting their money where their mouth is and start to actually do what they say they're going to do. Every one of these clowns ran on smaller government, smaller budget, and then Paul Ryan, the absolute worst speaker of my lifetime, and I'm including Nancy Pelosi in that. Paul. I'm not even disappointed. I'm disgusted with Paul Ryan because he was the guy who came out with the, here's my fiscal conservative budget, and he spent money like a drunken sailor. Yeah. I'm just embarrassed to even have an R after my name when somebody, when a liberal throws in my face the deficit and the debt, they're absolutely 100% right about it.
And you know, it's funny. Paul was an intern in our office when I worked for Jack Kemp, young, you know, fresh-faced kid.
Something and happened with him.
I used to sit in meetings where he and Jack and I and others would talk about policy. And I never would have expected this to be the result of a Paul Ryan.
But he turned it a 180.
The ultimate result of that is you've get a lot of conservatives that just become disinterested, right?
Right.
You know, I'm just not going to vote.
Like I'm not going to.
I've had enough of the Republican
Party. Absolutely true.
Not to keep you all day, but if we can do, we have your buddy on Saturday, David DiPietro.
Ah, yeah,
and
Dave.
Can we ask you something about New York? David has been proposing dividing New York up into three different segments.
I think it's a great idea that has difficult execution, but you know, this is not the first time that this kind of thing would happen in the United States, and I can't imagine a more important time for something like this to happen in the state of New York. I know there are other states in this country that are looking for leadership on these kinds of issues.
Yeah, Illinois is one of them.
When it comes to more fair and equitable boundaries in the places that they live.
Realistically, geographically, you look at New York State, and we are a conservative state. We've got about 18 miles that changes and runs the entire state.
And I think it's a discussion we need to have. I think Dave's solution is extremely well developed and thought out. I think that, you know, I'm working a little bit with him on it. I tried to get him into the media and such. He's had national media coverage on Fox. Mm-hmm. I mean, being driving the conversation is 50% of victory.
Yeah.
And from my perspective, David is driving that conversation. He has real gas in the tank with the policy itself. And even though he's got knee-jerk opposition among the left who wants to continue to see this unholy alliance between upstate and downstate New York and the theft of our power, you know, I think Dave's got some legs.
There's been some thought that, you know, because New York City dislikes us so much in Western New York, that they might actually, in a sense, fall for it.
Well, but here's what I was going to say. The kingdom also disliked the peasants.
Yeah.
But the peasants were still necessary to grow the food and to raise the animals, right? And that's how I feel in New York. I feel like there's a kingdom off in the distance. There's a kingdom over in New York City. And they despise those that are outside of the walled gates of the kingdom. But yet, at the same time, they're still reliant upon those people to provide those crops and those animals, and we have to provide our tax dollars. We have to provide power from Niagara. We have to provide those types of things.
Well, the power from Niagara, you think about this alone, our electric bill is like three times the amount of somebody in Las Vegas, yet they're using our power.
Right.
And then, of course, the inability to frack. And I think
that's crazy.
Want to unleash
if we did this, We'd be as red in Texas overnight.
We would those be two things, you're right. Those right. two things would transform upstate New York
yes.
by allowing economic opportunity for folks.
It's really energy oriented. Yes. It really is. I know it's taxes. I know it's a lot of different things, but it's really energy oriented. It's the electricity production,
yep.
the natural gas harvesting.
Yep. Yeah, that's our natural resource. Yeah. We've been barred from utilizing our own
energy prices down. We could be exporting one of the largest exporters yep. of natural gas and electricity in the country, perhaps the largest. Yep. I mean, the reserve of the shale region here in New York is one of the richest veins yep. on the planet, and yeah. Niagara Falls is one of the best and most exploited.
Talk about green. Production. Talk about green energy. I mean, yeah. you're dealing with water. I mean, this is what right. you want more of, right? But yeah. we're too busy building windmills and wasting time on.
But I'll tell you, if we do it because of energy, we'll right. the upstate will do very well.
If you could lop off that downstate, we'd be.
I know people laugh at us for talking like this. We're like we're rubes and we're hicks, and we need them. You know, we probably need them in some ways, but more than anything else, we don't need them. Oh. And from my perspective, if you look at this from an energy lens, this is a no-brainer to me.
Yeah.
And if you know, unfortunately, it takes a lot of downstate agreement for an upstate issue. But Dave, I'll tell you another thing. People don't know this about Dave DiPietro because he is a hardcore conservative. He's been voted the number one legislator by the Conservative Party something like 5 years running, right? Mm-hmm. Dave has really good friends on the other side of the aisle. This guy named Barron, he's an actual communist. African-American from the city. He treats Dave with real respect because, like him, Dave speaks his mind with his heart, and he's an authentic person. Mm-hmm. So he actually bonds well with anybody who will give him the time of day.
One last question for you, then we can wrap this up. How in today's day and age, with Venezuela collapsing, with Russia having, how are people still a card-carrying communist? I just don't understand that.
When I worked for Ronald Reagan's Reagan Doctrine in the 80s, I spent time in El Salvador and Nicaragua with the armed forces of both sides, the Contras in Nicaragua and the military of El Salvador. I had just gotten out of the military, out of the infantry when I did that. And watching the communists ruin both countries, being in charge in Nicaragua, and running a revolution in El Salvador. From both sides of the coin, I could see this was a fatally flawed, absolutely deeply and profoundly sick ideology. And I used to look at my friends in El Salvador and look at my friends in Nicaragua, you know, trying to speak my best Spanish and say, in Spanish, which I can't do today, what the heck are they thinking? And the same answer came to me, whether it was El Salvador, Nicaragua, Chile, no matter where I went. Their answer was, they're not thinking. Hmm. And I mean, as simple as that sound, it's also profound because the socialism that has taken over in Venezuela did it because people weren't thinking.
Yeah.
And yeah. now if we don't do something about it, we're going to be in trouble too.
I got to be honest with you, though, 75 to 80% of this country thinks socialism still is a bad word and the bad direction to
Thank
go
God.
In.
And
not if, among young people, and we're if, dying.
If the Republican Party had any kind of a backbone and actually showed Venezuela to these people,
right.
I mean, these are simple video commercial clips that would win every single election, but they just don't
right.
do it.
Right.
I have friends that go down there on behalf of the U.S. intelligence services with video. I shouldn't talk about this on a podcast, maybe, with their videographers, and they document everything that's going down there. And I've actually had an opportunity to look at some of this footage. It is really frightening. Mm-hmm. It's beyond Cuba. It's beyond Managua. It's beyond the place. It's beyond the streets of Moscow. It's beyond the streets of Magadan. It is really profoundly sick what's going on there. And you know, Bernie Sanders and AOC and all these people, they're chillingly quiet about it.
Yeah. It's becoming chaos. I think that's the, at least with Russia, you had a strong government arm that was going to put down any sort of, you know, a criminal element or
major violence.
What you have in Cuba, same thing, right? Now, were they jailing dissidents? Sure, but at least they were keeping some semblance of order. What you have in Venezuela is a complete and total social collapse.
Yeah.
You've got a government collapsing. You've got the rest of the world, the nations are endorsing the opposition leader. You have Maduro, who's unwilling to give up control. And the country, for the most part, has fallen into complete and total chaos. And that is a shame because...
And now they have Russian soldiers.
And waiting for a bottom, really, yeah.
Well, that's going to be the next... That could be the next proxy war. It's like Syria.
Right. I mean, they had between 40 and 70 Russian soldiers on the ground there for 72 hours now. Yes. And we'll see that double by the next week. And we'll see that double again by the week after. And before we know it, we're going to have 500 Russian troops in Venezuela. Yep. And it will be a week later. I know how these guys work. This is what's going down.
Yep. Wow. And then, and so what we, you know, we're going to be in another proxy war like we were in Syria, you know, with different sides, which Obama got us into. And I remember the, you know, some of the wiser people when I was on that side saying, I don't think Syria is our battle to fight outside of getting rid of ISIS. But, you know, that's another investigation I'd like to see. You know, it's obvious to anybody with half a brain that they were running guns from Libya to Syria to fund the groups that they wanted to fund. Some of those groups like al-Nusra and others turned out to be just as bad or part of an off-wing shoot of ISIS themselves. And so our government and our State Department specifically, run by Hillary Clinton, was in charge of running and leading a gun running operation, moving ammunition and arms illegally from Libya over to Syria to give it to the groups. That's a big reason why, you know, they just whitewashed the whole thing. Four of our Americans died, including Ambassador Stevens, which is outrageous. You know, first time since Jimmy Carter, you know, we lost the U.S. ambassador. That's why there's that cover up there, in my opinion. And, you know, we should have never gotten involved in Syria outside of just fighting, you know, ISIS and what needed to be done.
Well, I'll tell you, you know,
here, like Trump did, but we didn't.
Our friend David Bellavia, in 2005, before I moved home to Buffalo, I started working with the families of the Intrepid 13, the 13 American Navy sailors who were buried in a mass grave on the beach outside of Tripoli. I've been working with them since 2005, trying to get their sons back. There are 13 of them buried, their bones mixed together. They were fed to wild dogs and thrown into a pit. And I've, you know, in 1804, I've been trying to get them back since 2005. Wow. And we, at some point, went through a lot of machinations, but I'll fast forward it. Right about the time all this went down with Stevens, we were working with a gentleman there on site because we were trying to come in with a group of, Dave and I were organizing a group of mercenaries to go in and get the, empty the grave and bring it back to the United States. And the guy on the ground that was coordinating it for us was Glenn Doherty. He was the American a contractor formerly with the military and the intelligence community. And he was, you know, doing that, trying to pick up all the weapons that Hillary Clinton had secretly sold, trying to recover them during the day. And at night, he was helping us. Mm-hmm. Glenn Doherty was one of the four who were killed that night, that day, when Stevens lost his life. I mean, these are real people, friends of, you know,
yep, David Bellamy. Real families and real wives and real kids and real parents.
One day he was on Skype with us. And the next day he was gone.
Wow. Yeah, just sad.
And those bodies are still there. Those bones are still buried in a mass grave. You know, we have history of embarrassing, ignominious moments in our foreign policy. Yeah. Hillary Clinton's selling weapons to Al-Qaeda-related units in Libya is just one of them.
But I want to ask you this real quick, and maybe we could just do another show on this at some point. But another recent, you know, whitewash thing, I never would believe that our U.S. government was capable of some of these, I'll call them conspiracy theories, until Fast and Furious came to light, until you find out that, yes, indeed, the FBI was running a gun-running operation along with the DOJ to Mexican cartel leaders. So now they just all of a sudden closed the Vegas inquiry. Come on.
Hey, before we go, can I ask you guys a question?
Of course.
So let's talk let's just hypothetically, asking for a friend, okay? Let's say my friend was caught up in a federal investigation and lost everything at 57 years old. Well, he's got debt because of legal fees and other things, but he's a free man, even though some of his friends went to jail. His children are scared, but they're okay. They kept their house, were able to keep one car. At 57 years old, where do I go and what do I do to recover financially?
Not saying it's you, Mike, but your friend. Consider writing a book.
Yeah.
If I said my friend was signing a book deal or a movie deal?
I love it.
And so, what would you do with your money first? Would you try and load it into your empty retirement account? What would you do to try to recover financially?
You've got some limitations on what you can contribute, but that would be a good start, right? So you want to put as much money away pre-tax as you can. as a business owner, right, because you own your own business, you can set up a SEP. Depending on how many employees you have, you may have to set up a 401k. But I would definitely max that out. I would also look into a Roth IRA, anything you could do to avoid taxes in the future. Anything outside of that, then, you know, you would just set up an investment plan, non-qualified, you know, non-IRA, that you would just put as much money away as you possibly can.
Send your friend into our office. We have some pretty neat financial planning software that can actually build a personal roadmap for them.
Can an American actually recover at 57?
Absolutely, yes.
Can always recover.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, look, at you know, your friend's been put into a pretty tough position, but the good news is I would imagine your friend's got a ton of name recognition. And that name recognition means a lot, right? Whenever you're building a business, I always say the number one thing is marketing. You can have the best product. It's so funny because people will ask, they'll say to us all the time, I've got a million inventions. And if I could just, that person came up with that widget and made, what a stupid idea that is. Yeah. And they made $1 billion. I'm like, the idea wasn't the important thing. It was the marketing of the idea that was important. So if you've got name recognition and distribution, you can make a lot of money and recover financially.
Absolutely. I'll let him know, man.
Let them know. Well, Michael, thank you so much for
God
joining us.
God bless you.
Really appreciate it. God bless. And for those of you that haven't had a chance to check out the Still Standing podcast with Michael Caputo, stillstandingpodcast.com. You can find it there. Of course, you can find all of our social media stuff on our website, thefinancialguys.com. If you go to that website, you can find our Twitter feed, our social media, Facebook, Instagram, a YouTube channel. We're also now producing YouTube videos in a couple different ways. Some are our news interviews that we do, you know, throughout town and throughout the country. Others are just simply a rant or something as political like this. So check out all the different things that we're doing. And don't forget, of course, to tune in to WBEN every single Saturday from 1 to 3. That's News Radio 930 in Buffalo, New York. Michael, thank you so much for joining us. We'll see you again here soon.
Yep.
And have a great day, everybody. Thank you for listening.